And the last time I was successful was when I was a junior in high school. I finally got away. By that time, he had lost interest in me, but I was still being used to help the little kids, you know, to watch them when they were in the truck, or to watch them when we were at the warehouse, or watch them when they were making film.
Did they lose interest in you because you were too old?
I was too old. I had entered puberty. That's when we stopped, you know. Don't get me wrong, there were men that wanted pubescent kids. There were, early to late teens. And they were the ones that were far more abusive than the ones that took me as a child. Mm. You know, that's when they liked the whips and the chains and the, you know, and it's just like, you know.
And was that?
They wanted to handcuff you and hog tie you.
Wow. Okay, were those part of that man-boy love group, or was that also part of the ritual abuse?
I never really knew who was a member of what I call NAMBLA now. But, you know, the symbol that I saw on Pizzagate, the triangular, kind of like a circle, but it's in a triangle where it goes deeper and deeper in a 3D type look.
Mm-hmm.
That was a symbol they used to use that, you know, signified that this was the right place. They would put that on, you know, let's say the outside of the warehouse on a garage door, you know, spray paint it on or whatever. Sometimes it was just a sign that they would take down when they had who was expected to come, because they didn't want the police cruising a business that was closed to find that there were people in there filming kids.
So when you saw that,
other things.
When you saw that symbol on the Pizzagate thing, it was an absolute 100%. You knew what that meant.
It rang a bell. Oh yeah, I knew what the hell it meant right away. Now, where in the hell Pizzagate comes in, I think it's strictly a Clinton thing, because I don't remember pizza being given to anybody. Yeah, they bought pizza for the kids once in a while, kind of keep us quiet because it was past our bedtime or past our dinner time, where they buy hamburgers. You know, and McDonald's wasn't around, so we didn't have things like that. Usually a local burger place, and we'd be ordered the burgers or pizza or whatever.
So when you saw this stuff, you saw the emails, you saw the same symbology that you saw growing up, and yet nothing happened, or that we know of at this point, and the media covered it up. How did that make you feel?
It makes me feel very, very angry. Especially now that I know, you know, Pizzagate implements Hillary Clinton and her clan.
Well, and those emails talking about the kids that were going to be entertainment later, and they had their ages that they stated, and they're all under 12.
And they went to the island.
I'm sorry.
You know, I was never taken to an island. The only place that I was taken at was, like I said, that nudist camp. And they had a cabin way in the back, and we had to do a little hike up to it. And so it was away from the basic nudist camp. And my father called it camp. We're going to camp. And sometimes he would only take me, and the family wouldn't go. My stepmother didn't like it. And so, again, and I kind of associate their gatherings, except it's some island somewhere in the Pacific, or no, the Atlantic, and an airplane that gets them there. I forgot who the name of the guy was that is very wealthy, that has a jet plane, and they have sex on the plane till they get to the island, and then they have, you know, I couldn't read too much of that because it made me angry, and I start to boil, and sometimes I have nightmares. Even now, I still get some nightmares of it. As a matter of fact, I had one last night. And I woke up about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I did not want to go back to bed. Did not want to go to sleep.
Well,
so,
how many of these powerful people, politicians, do you think are involved in this?
Well, at the time, the Congress wasn't as big as it is now. I would say there was about 210 people in Congress at the time. There were still 50 senators. But I would say that at least a third of the Senate, and maybe a third of the Congress was involved with it. I couldn't remember names or anything like that. But
just based on...
You recognize faces on the television at that time.
Okay.
The Vietnam was going on, and that was the kind of thing that, you know, Senator would be talking about, trying to get, you know, more money for the Vietnamese conflict, or trying to stop Vietnam War. Usually the Democrats were trying to stop it. The Republicans were trying to fight it. But yet, you know, at a young age, I became more lean towards the Republican Party because I felt safe with it. And I would say most of the people that I recognized were all Democrats, even then.
And that's because your father was a Democrat. But do you think it was just as
Yes.
prevalent on both sides, or do you think it was more prevalent in the Democratic Party, or don't you really know?
I think it's more prevalent in the Democratic Party. I really do believe that. Because very, very rarely was there a Republican, and it could have been because he was involved with the Democratic Party. He was high in the what would be the DNC of California. I don't know what they called it then. But he was in charge of fundraising and God knows what else. So he knew a lot of these people up close and personal.
So,
And that's where,
go ahead.
go ahead.
Do you think the other people who weren't involved, if there was about a third involved, do you think the other two-thirds knew that this was going on? Was it
No.
common knowledge, or do you think it was pretty secret?
I think it was pretty secret. The thing is that they had passwords that they would do. And, I remember that sometimes they'd have a password that would be mentioned at the door because I was with my father when he gave a password. So, yeah. I think they knew who was who, and they didn't dare talk about it in public. They might say, I'm going to the ice cream store tonight. You're going to, what are you going to be doing? Oh, I thought about going to the ice cream store.
Oh, so they talk in
Follow what I'm
code,
saying?
and then they would know who's,
They talk in code.
and then they'd know who was who. You stated that
Yeah, but
you,
they use
go
the
ahead.
ice cream store, not the pizza place. Not a
Okay.
pizza place.
Could that
Not
have
pizza then.
changed, or is it just, it you the because the pizza place had the symbol you were talking about.
Yeah, I know they did. I think it was just a symbol used for identifying again where events are going to be held.
Okay.
And I do remember NAMBLA. I was finding all kinds of NAMBLA information with my father's stuff. And in his documents, he never mentioned any Democratic, organized type sexual thing. He did mention some people that were involved with like Fox, not Fox Television, not Fox. It was the 20th Century Fox. Is, there were people within, because in the old days, movie stars were contracted to a movie producer or movie company, whether it was Fox or any of the other big ones. I forgot some of them. I'm just kind of drawn over a couple of them, but in the old days, you had to borrow a movie star to star in one of your movies. And so again, these people had young actors that they would bring out, or young people that were in television series, and I, like I said, I was on a sci one of the sci-fi people that was young. He was probably about my age, about 8 or 9. Very bright young man.
And was he gang raped
And
too?
I don't know whether it was gang rape, but I know that he was raped, and then again, a lot of times they would perform fellatio on you or try to get, kids have a tendency not to climax until their early teens. But we still had what's called a dry climax, but it didn't happen as often as in some adults. Some adults could climax 3 or 4 times in an hour. And even as a teenager, I couldn't do that myself. But and they would give us a chance to calm down, put us in a room with the television on, and again, we were drugged, so we were, pretty much happy-go-lucky. And then they would come and get us later when we'd had a time to kind of refresh ourselves, and they'd give us another drug, and we'd take it again, and then in we would go. And I do remember there was someone who took care of the hurt kids that were bleeding, ice packs and that type of thing. There was always an ice chest available, so
Did they ever take him
some of
to
the
the
people got
hospital?
pretty. I don't know. I don't know. I do know that some kids look pretty hurt and needed to go to a hospital. And again, like I said, some of these kids, and mostly around 9 to 13 or 14 that ran away, are the ones that I would suspect were ended up murdered and killed. Because the kids that I saw constantly on the van that went to Palm Springs, and I did that for about 4 or 5 years. And every time he wanted to go, I would, the more conniption I would have. and threatened him to tell people, and he, of course, threatened me that if I did, it would be the last time I told anybody anything. But and I think he was afraid of people too, because I knew that sometimes he didn't want to do something that they were forcing him to do.
Oh.
You know, the whole organization has been around for a long time. I saw it in the movie industry. I saw it in the vocal recording industry. I saw it in politics. And I just saw some people that had money. You know, when I saw Joe Biden put his hands on somebody on the television, he likes to have kids close to him. I cringe. And as an adult, if I had a 9mm or 45mm handgun, I'd have probably shot him on the spot. When he gropes kids, and it's for a political photograph, he always brings the young kid to him. And I never saw him, you know, having sex with kids. But he's the kind of molester that I can spot a mile away and smell him long before they arrive.
How do you know that?
Oh, just his mannerisms, hon. His mannerisms. Watch some of, you know, you can go on YouTube and find, you know, pictures of him where there's family gatherings, people that are there for some award or something. If they, and even other politicians have small kids, he'll come up and pull the kids to him. And sometimes you see his hand go on the breast of an 8-year-old. Mm. Or you'll see him grab a butt of a 5-year-old boy. You know, it's like, I just want to shoot him myself. I really do. And the fact that he's so, I want to say, blatant about it. If you, next time you see Joe Biden and then you watch any video and there's kids involved, watch what he meant. He's a magnet to him. And it kills me that nobody has really done anything about it or said anything publicly about it.
Well, I have seen some videos on it, but nothing that concrete. Do you see this in other politicians as well?
I can, but it's kind of like a, I want to call it a preservatory sixth sense. You know, you have a tendency when you've experienced so many different things throughout the years that, you know, nowadays I call it gaydar, okay? I did come out of the closet after I was married for 24 years because I always wanted to have my kids grow up in a normal family with a father and a mother. When my kids turned 19 is when I came out of the closet. But it's a consciousness that you see in people. I can spot a gay man in a room of 1,000 men or women, especially if it's all women. I can spot a gay man in half a second flat, or I find a man in there. But among men, I could spot a gay man a mile away. If there's a lot of men, I know who's the gay one or the gay several. And so I kind of call it an ESP, if you will.
So you can spot.
That I can sense.
Yeah. And so
I can sense their intentions right straight away.
So how many are there in our society?
I say there's a lot.
Like one out of 10?
Not everybody that holds a child. Oh, I'd say it's probably about 4 out of 10.
40% of our people.
You know, it's not being attracted to children. They're trying. I just read something that they're trying to pass it off as an orientation.
No,
it's not an orientation. You have the ability to make a decision what's right and what's wrong. And they choose to do the wrong thing with the child. That's not an orientation. I had no choice to, you know, to be gay. I knew I was gay from the time I was 10 or 11 years old. And I think a lot of pedophiles are attracted to homosexual boys because they know that we won't fight as much. We're fascinated with male genitalia, but we were still terrified by the things that they did to us.
Well, yeah,
so
you're a child.
They found it easier. I was a child. I had no control. You know, I probably be honest and not speak bluntly here. I didn't have an orgasm until I was about 13, 14 years old. And then I didn't know what it was. You know, it scared me. I mean, I should have known what it was. And I kind of did, but didn't want to admit that I was getting that old. Because every time I associated an orgasm, it was with an old man. And, you know, granted, a 35-year-old would appear to an old man to a 9-year-old. But, you know, and one thing that I want to emphasize to your listeners is that although it is 90% fact that children, or let me start with this, that adults who, I don't want to word this, I want to be very political about this. Let me give it some thought here. Okay, I know what I'm going to say. I was going to say molesters, but I'm going to go ahead and use that anyway. Molesters know that they have a high probability that they themselves will become a molester and go with it. First instinct, they say, okay, well, I'll just go ahead and grab this 9-year-old and rape him. But it's even though that most molesters were molested as children, most children that were molested do not become molesters, but we can spot them a mile away because we've been conditioned to do so. Self-preservation. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, yeah. So let's get into this journal a little bit more that your dad had.
Okay.
What did you learn from this journal? What did you see in it?
But what I learned, it was big business. I mean, when I tallied up the, I'm pretty good at math, and I can pretty much do a lot of mathematics in my head. But when I tallied up the period of time when we got our swimming pool installed in the house, the swimming pool was, very expensive at the time, and not many people had them. But during the period of time, my father raised about $30,000 from what he was doing. And so that told me where the money from the swimming pool came from. And then $30,000 in 1960, 63, 62. No, it'd been around 1959. No, right about 1964, 63, somewhere in that period of time. That would have been a lot of money. Today's, it would have been like $300,000.
Yep. So,
So that told me where.
did you see any national level politicians, or was it mostly like state level and local and celebrities?
Well, the fact that the governor the person who was governor of Arizona, I recognized him from the television. And also, they sometimes made the mistake of calling each other by their real name, their first name. So, again, I could put two and two together. I'm not stupid. And, but I would say it's mostly, I want to say it's organized by states. If I had to do a really good guess, because the documentation my father had was intense. Now, I don't know if he was doing it for himself or if he was doing it for a group or everybody that was there. I know that the younger period of when I was young, when he got the swimming pool, I know that it was him. It was his money. But later on, when I saw tens of thousands of dollars coming through for a fundraiser, they were not put into the fundraising because that's not where the money was intended for. I think like the events out in the desert, I'm sure that those cost whoever went out there $10,000 to $15,000 just for the night. And we're talking late 50s.
And did they treat the girls differently than the boys, or was it the same?
Pretty much differently, because there were some, because a pedophile doesn't care if it's a boy or a girl. The men I think that are inclined to being gay preferred the boy children, the boys. And again, that's what I was tuned into, so I could identify who the gay were. And I never saw them with the girls. I never did it. But
Well,
these,
go ahead.
again, it's not, it's opportunity. It's power that they have over the children usually makes them pedophiles. It's not that they're looking for a boy or a girl, usually. But if they had their rathers and there's more girls than boys, you were probably going to take the boy if you're a gay man who's in the
Sure.
closet, has a family of his own.
Now, how could you tell the
They would
difference?
much rather molest somebody, other kid. Go ahead. They could probably they were more prevalent to molest another child than their own.
And how could you tell the difference between, like, when it was a Satanist abuse? How, when they did that, what was the ceremony? What did they do differently to you than just what a pedophile would do?
Well, they would beat us, usually spankings. A lot of them were into spankings. And they would start with that. And a lot of times they were abusive in the way that they would toss us around. And they didn't care what they shoved into us. To them, it was erotic. I remember cucumbers, and in a 9-year-old, a cucumber that's about an inch and a half in diameter does not normally fit into a 9-year-old. And so, but they took great pleasure, which is where the bleeding would come in.
Did they like the bleeding? Did they get off on the hurting the child?
Oh yeah, they got the some of them. The more blood that they had, the more they got off. And thank God, I rarely had that happen to me because, again, my father was in the group, so he made sure that I didn't get hurt like some of the other kids did, which was lucky for me. But still, I went through a lot, and I witnessed a lot. I would be, in the room where they would collect the kids. It was always under lock and key. We couldn't get out of this room, and they had a porta potty there for us to use. And the thing is that I saw the results when they put him back in the room. Now, when we were in the city, like in a warehouse or whatever, I never knew. I assumed that these kids were going to be cleaned up before the parents picked them up. But I don't know if that was the case because some kids were pretty beat up. I mean, I remember seeing broken legs and broken arms and eyes just swollen to where they couldn't see through it.
Jeez.
They'd actually got beatings by whoever they went with.
And these were when you were doing this satanic stuff, or just when you did eat anything?
Well, it's pretty much anything. There are abusive men in marriages that beat their wives and beat their children and keep saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you," and the wife takes them back. They become kind of a misogynistic, I don't even know that's a word that I want to use, but they know that they have nowhere else to go, so they put up with the beatings. And so the thing is that these adults, when they don't have a way to trace it back, unless this group gave up their information, and I don't ever remember ever having a raid, never. And it was never at the same place twice in a row. We reused facilities, but it could be 2 months down the road.
How long would this go on?
Till dawn, usually.
So it would.
We'd arrive, right at dusk, but 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening, sometimes later. And sometimes my father would get me up in the middle of the night and say, "Well, come on, we're going for a ride." And I thought, okay, here it comes. I just knew what the ride meant. And sometimes that was about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, and it would go until dawn.
So, but when you were actually the one on stage, if you will, how long did that last?
On the average, a couple hours.
Oh my God. And they would pass you around and
And we were,
things.
sometimes they did. I've been multiple raped, and it's, I guess they call it gang banging now. But yeah, I remember being taken by as many as five or six. And then after that, I go unconscious and I don't know how many actually went.
Oh my gosh. So they would still, they would.
I could barely walk.
Man. And you were one of the ones that weren't
I
hurt.
ended it. I was one of the ones that wasn't hurt, but I was raped. Because it was forceful. They didn't care, whether it hurt or whether I bled or anything like that. And I remember my father having tampons in the car to stop the bleeding. So it's like, okay, maybe that's what these are for.
Now, were you aware of whether there was any law enforcement involved?
On occasions they were. They never were in uniform, but I knew they were cops because the way they were dressed. Someone would call them officer. Like, okay, that's obvious. And I didn't think it was an officer like a president or a vice president. I thought it was an officer as a person of the law. Mostly in outside of Los Angeles, when we went outside of LA, like towards Palm Springs is not a good example, but up towards Vegas, in that direction by San Bernardino, I guess it would have been. There was a place that had at least three or four cops because the police cars were outside, but we didn't know who the cops were.
How can normal
They were
people
county mounties.
identify who these people are so that we can start doing something about this?
Well, first of all, believe the child. Always believe the child when they start coming up with that kind of stuff. Because the kids, first of all, are terrified. And if they do tell you, they're going to be in a terrified state when they do tell you. And secondly, is that if you suspect by watching them, it's just like Joe Biden. I'm using him as an example because this is blatant. It's like he's slapping everybody in the face, like, watch what I can do as vice president. And you really just have to watch what's going on, who's doing what. And then, you know, if I were a parent, I would actually put a detective on them and see if they're constantly around the company of children, that type of thing. You know, they're the kind of guys that would go to the park and kidnap a kid long enough to have sex and then let him go. And the kid wouldn't talk because he was too embarrassed. But these people have, I want to say, an MO, modus operandi, that can be identified if you know what signs to look for. I would say that they need to read a lot about pedophilia. It's not a tasteful subject. A lot of people don't even want to buy the book because of the title. But in these books, you know, they definitely talk about the psychological profiles of these people.
And do you think that's different? Do you think that's different than the satanic profile?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to identify who's into satanic type stuff. They like it as the dark side, if you would. You know, it's another form of getting off. You know, especially being naked in a black robe. I don't think it has anything to do with the devil, but it's just, at least now I don't. Then I thought they were all Satan myself. But I was too young to really, you know, to differentiate.
Why don't you think it's the devil? Why don't you think it's like an evil thing?
It's evil. I will give you that. It is evil. But it's all psychological profiles of these people. Just like you have your modus operandi of people that are mass murderers, whether it be, what's his name that was killing all the boys? I forgot his name.
Jeffrey Dahmer was...
He was arrested. Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, the thing is he had one that got away, went to a cop, and he told him that it was his son, and he got him back. And that's when, afterwards, he killed him. You know, it's like people don't realize what the MO they're looking for. You know, if I saw a naked boy out on the streets and the kid's trying to get away from the father, even then, that would be a trip to the police station. You know, it's just not normal for a kid to be, A, naked in the street, and B, under the circumstances, believe that it is, that the father, you know, wasn't doing something hokey with it.
Well, how do you maintain your peace now? I know that you had some threats against
Most
your
these
life.
People are dead. Most of these people are dead now.
Can you talk?
I'm 65.
Can you talk about the threats against your life and how that occurred and how you got away from that?
My father was involved with a school called the McMartin School in Glendale, California. And this is where a lot of the kids were used during the day. When their parents were to work, they would drop their kids off to this day school. And at night, there were some kids who were, you know, the parents were gone for the weekend. So they also had, like, an opportunity to have these kids for the weekend. They pay extra for it. But this is where the filming that went on in that house that I was telling you about, that was empty on both sides except for the house in the basement where the filming was done. One of the things that I did later in life, and you might hear my cat. He wants to be involved in the conversation. But what happened later in life was that I got a phone call from the prosecuting attorney for the McMartin School. The McMartins were going to be prosecuted for all kinds of things regarding pornography and trafficking and that type of thing of children. And they wanted me to testify for the plaintiff only because my father was actually on their records as one who provided children for them. And he was deceased at the time, but they asked, you know, they started asking me questions about, you know, and I told them I was involved. I know what's going on. I was a child that they did this with. And I told them where the house was and how we did it and what they did and how long we were there and who was involved. I knew the McMartins, and on the surface, they were nice people, but behind the scenes, they were mean as hell to the kids. Well, I'll make the long story short, about 2 weeks later, I get a call from somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they're threatening my life and my family's life if I testified. And how they knew who I was, I had no idea. But it didn't take me long to put two and two together. I changed my name to a foreign name. I'm not going to say what it was or what nationality. But then I turned around and went one better. I'm a highly educated man. I speak 8 languages. I have 2 master's degrees, and I have a doctorate. And the thing is that I knew I could get a job anywhere I wanted to on the planet. So I made it a point to get a job to the nationality that I changed my name to. And I learned to speak that language fluently. If these people wanted to come after me, they were going to have a search on their hands and not know exactly who or where I was. And so I was there for 10 years. And my kids learned to speak the language fine. And I didn't come back to the States until my company that I was working for over there wanted me to come and manage one of their computer centers, you know, in the United States for 2 of their new factories. And that's when I came back to the States. At that point, I still, you know, I'd already changed my name, so it was under my new name. And I really hadn't been, at that point is when I began to breathe again. I wasn't worried about somebody, you know, coming up in the middle of the night, snatching my kids and killing them because I wanted to keep me quiet. So that's why when all of this started to resurface with Clinton Foundation and Pizzagate and some of the people that I knew of at the time, I just didn't want to, it's like, okay, it was time to do something about it. And even now with Pizzagate coming out, I was able to put a lot of these things behind me. You know, it was history that happened, get on, move on with my life. And I have to admit, I was very successful in my life. I did what I wanted to do. I got to see the world and have a large corporation that is known worldwide for its computer systems. You know, pay my airfare with business or first class, stay in 5-star hotels, eat in 5-star restaurants, and manage projects up to $60 million. You know, so I was successful. I made something of myself. And I've always been right there for my kids. Anytime they had a problem, they called me, and there I was. Just recently, I went and collected my grandson. You know, he was kicked out of the house by my daughter, and he's living with me now. And he knows a lot of, I talked to him about this phone call that we were going to have and what it was about, and he didn't really want to know too much more. So the thing is that I moved on. But again, this has kind of opened some scabs of the wounds, this whole thing with the Clinton Foundation and Pizzagate. As I read things, and there was a video online on YouTube that I believe I forwarded to you or got the information to you, and you could see it. And after that, I just broke down and cried.
What specific?
I saw myself.
Go ahead.
I saw myself in that boy that was interviewed by the police.
You mean the boy in the UK, that little girl and little
yes.
boy.
Yep.
And so what he was saying, what those two little, the girl and boy was saying in the UK, that is what you guys experienced. So you knew what they were saying was true.
Oh, and I knew that the boy was lying about some of the things that he did. And that's where, you know, it really upset me, and that it was the same kind of thing I would do. Can you hold on a second?
Sure.
Hi, I'm on the phone. Have a seat. Let me finish this call. So,
one thing
again, I do know.
One thing the little boy and little girl talked about was the fact that they had to kill babies or they saw babies get killed. That's an experience you didn't get to see. Is that correct?
No, but I saw some kids that were pretty battered.
That you think might have died.
You know, so I most likely did. But I never saw a dead child.
Do you think that happened? Like most of those satanic rituals, do you think there was a few that got killed each time?
I suspect it, but I never had proof of it.
So do you think a lot of these children are not able to recover? 'Cause you had a successful life. You figured it out. But do you think a lot of children?
I channeled my hatred to success. Some kids will just turn around and kill themselves.
Well,
So.
what do you think you want to do now? 'Cause you came out and you wanted to share your story. Why did you want to share your story now?
I think it's because people need to understand that it happened from way back when. It's nothing new. It's just more organized
So do you
and
think it's
organized by very powerful people.
now it is?
Now it is.
Yeah, so
It was
now
then.
it was then, and now it's almost they got their system down even better now.
Well, the thing is, with the advent of the internet and everybody has a computer in their home, that type of thing, it makes sense that this is what they would do.
Do you think if the
That it would be more successful now.
law enforcement wanted to take these guys down, that they and they did a hardcore effort, that they could really make a huge dent in this and pretty much wipe it out to a certain degree?
I know there was a police officer in Des Moines, Iowa, that I owed my life to. And he knew, but he was trying to gather information about my father. But he would take me out of the house whenever he could. If his son had a birthday party or if they were going to go see a new movie, he would be sure that I was part of his group. And he does not realize that what he did for me saved my life.
Do you think,
And
did he, go ahead.
I never had a chance to really thank him. But it was the way he treated me that made me feel like I was worth being saved. He's just such a good man. And I never had a chance to thank him because he's the one that turned my life around. He was a cop that actually arrested me for trying to run away again in Des Moines, Iowa. So,
Did he know, do you think?
anyway, I never told him. But he suspected.
Well, our child welfare system isn't very good. So,
Not at all.
reporting kids to authorities, you need to do that, but a lot of kids get raped more in the system than they do outside of the system. So,
Exactly.
what do we
And you
do?
put them into the system, they'll always be in the system. Well, I think there need to be parents, or places such as my home that they know would be safe. My grandson is living with me now. And I think that, I've often thought about, becoming a halfway house for social services, kids that are abused or beaten, because I have an ex had an extra bedroom until my grandson came to live with me. But he was technically being abused and beaten by his mother. So that's why he's here. And he dropped out of school, and I got him enrolled in school. He's actually going back to get his diploma. He's 19. And I haven't had any problems. I don't see any of the problems that I was reported that he was into and doing not happening here. Didn't happen here. Haven't seen it here. So I think it all depends on the environment that they're in. And certainly you're right. The social services needs to have people who have A, experience, B, overcome, and C, qualified to take these kids in. And what's funny is I love kids. I really do. They're exciting to watch, be excited. There's neighbor kids here that play basketball. The basketball hoop is in front of my apartment. And I watch them play basketball all the time, and I'm always joking about them that maybe they should try taking a ping pong instead. But my grandchildren are all in Idaho, except for the one that just moved in here with me. And he's become friends with these kids, so now he's part of them. But it's just nice to see a normal kid being normal.
Absolutely. It kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. And there are families, and these kids, by all means, are not from wealthy families. They're from families that sometimes have a tough time making ends meet, but they succeed. These are happy kids. And, you know, I think that's great. And I think there are a lot of kids that deserve that and haven't gotten even, you know, that when they get taken away from a bad situation.
Well, we don't have that much time left, so is there anything that you want to say before we wrap this up?
No, I think that's pretty much it. We've pretty much covered everything from A to Z.
Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story, and I do hope this helps people understand really what's going on and that this is a serious issue that needs to be taken care of. The last thing we want is the worst of our society leading. And this is what we have right now. We have
Well,
the worst leading us.
I do have hope. I do think Donald Trump has done a hell of a lot more than I ever expected. He was not my candidate of choice, but Miss Clinton was not my candidate of choice at all. And I could see her corruption and her sin, you know, like it was right in her face. And the other gentleman was, of course, Sanders, and he got, again, bullied by Miss Clinton. So I was left with one vote. But I think Trump has done a hell of a job as our president for the first year. I'm not saying anything to be political, but he certainly has surpassed any expectation I ever had of him. So,
And he
but
blows
thank you for your
Clinton
time,
away.
hon.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and
Oh, yeah.
I hope you have a great rest of the day. And if I'd really like to see you get involved and help these children, I think people like you, I know it's painful, but I think people like you could make a huge difference.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate your time, and I look forward to hearing our story on online.
Okay, thank you very much.